I love that in the last segment we have Hillgrove on, and he's just going down memory lane, right? He's talking 71, he's talking 76, he's bang, da boom, da boom. Brings up a guy by the name of Les Block, who I think that's actually the nickname for George Pickens, Les Block. You like that one, Pat?
I love that one. You're on your game today, man.
I meant to have that ready at the end of the segment, but we screwed the clock up, as we often do. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Going to play Pat Bostick a clip here of Colin Cowherd talking about Justin Fields. And I wonder, Pat, if you feel the same way I do.
The Steelers say they're excited about Justin Fields starting in week two. Could he become the next Geno Smith? For the record, I have friends in Seattle. I'm from the Pacific Northwest. Geno's winning 9 games, no playoff wins. Everybody knows they're waiting for the next quarterback. He's fine for now, placeholder. At best, that's probably what Justin Fields is.
Your thoughts, Pat? Are you trying to think of what I said? How I came down on this?
Can you do me a favor and summarize what he just said?
You weren't listening?
I struggle with him. I just struggle. I am so... I think he's really good at what he does. Mm-hmm. I am so conditioned to tune him out.
So his point was...
Plus, in all actuality, I was scrolling X.
That's fair. You might stumble upon Shannon Sharp. I don't know if you saw what happened to him.
No, I don't want to.
I'll tell you off the air. So the crux of it from Cowherd was that the best Justin Fields can hope to be is Geno Smith. He also said the Steelers are one of 7 teams that he already knows is not going to win the Super Bowl because they're not going to score enough. We talked about that prior to the season. I don't think the Steelers are winning the Super Bowl. I will, however, say that I think Justin Fields, of course, could be better than Geno Smith. And I think that you kind of poo all over Geno Smith when you don't give him credit for turning his career around. But here's the point I made to start the show. Kurt Warner stunk bad enough to get cut by the Packers. Then he goes, plays in the XFL, Arena Football League, comes back, wins the Super Bowl. Then goes to the Giants and stinks. Then goes to the Cardinals and takes them to the Super Bowl. Like, progress isn't linear. I look at guys like Y.A. Tittle. You like this one from 1961? He stunk.
You're like Hillgrove.
More. I watched Y.A. Tittle YA. Back in the day. Yeah.
What's Y.A. stand for? Go ahead.
I just called him Tittle. So he threw more interceptions than touchdowns with the Baltimore Colts. Then he goes to the Giants. So he throws 38 touchdowns, does Y.A. Tittle, my man Tittle, with the Baltimore Colts. More interceptions than touchdowns. Following 3 seasons, 96 touchdowns. It's not linear. Drew Brees stunk. Then he has 2 years okay in San Diego, goes, turns his career around. Ryan Tannehill, not great in Miami. Then with Arthur Smith, very good with the Tennessee Titans. Baker Mayfield, not so great in Cleveland. Last year, start of the season, very good. Why do we have to say that Justin Fields has a ceiling? I'm not saying he's going to do any of these things. I'm not saying that Justin Fields is going to reach and achieve what his potential says he could reach, but I'm also not ruling that out. That was my takeaway.
First of all, I would say that if he reaches Geno Smith, if he equals the production of Geno Smith with this defense and the cast around him, I think that's pretty darn good. I don't want to sleep on how good that would be in terms of a turnaround. Yeah. I think his ceiling's higher. He's much younger than Geno was when he turned his career around. He's much younger than a lot of these guys that you mentioned when they turned their careers. I mean, what's Fields, 26?
25.
He's 25.
There are guys that were in the draft this year that are about his age.
I do think that he has to prove to me, and I maintain this, that and again, I have a buddy that coached him. And he's told me, and I'm not going to name his name, he's told me, you win 10, 11 games with Justin Fields. This is coming into this season. I mean, that's in the coaching world. That's how people view him. But there are these things that pop up that rear their ugly head, the turnovers, the sacks, and so forth, that he's just got to clean up. The physical ability, although Geno Smith, I think, ran like 21.3 miles an hour in the game.
Oh, unbelievable. I haven't seen that from Geno
ever.
Ever.
He's a better athlete. He's a better runner. There's more you can do schematically with him. he's got to prove to be a consistent passer and decision maker. If he does that, I think his ceiling's higher than Geno Smith's. I think it's higher. I just don't think he's as good of a passer as Geno Smith.
Geno Smith was a great passer
in college.
Well, not a runner in college.
And ultimately, in this league, you've got to be able to pass it consistently at that position. I know that sounds obvious, but look at Lamar Jackson. He's gonna run into Patrick Mahomes, and he's going to run into Josh Allen. All those guys, by the way, could move. I mean, Josh Allen's doing cartwheels into the end zone last weekend. But ultimately, when you have to go win a game, you got to go 80 to win it. You've got to be able to complete the ball on a consistent basis from the pocket and off platform at times. But I would counter Colin Cowherd and say that if you put Geno Smith on the Steelers last year, they might beat Buffalo.
Wow.
I mean,
he has thrown.
How can you argue against that?
In Seattle, I can't. In Seattle, 51 touchdowns, 21 picks, quarterback rating of 96, threw for over 4,500 yards 2 years ago. A completion percentage 2 years ago of 70%. This year.
20 touchdowns and 9 interceptions last year. Completed 65% of his passes.
All higher numbers than the Steelers quarterbacks combined. Yeah. I think he is selling Geno Smith short. If I guess that's a question, too, at 412-928-9370. If Justin Fields turns into Geno Smith, is that a bad thing? 412-928-9370. I'm going to make another statement and see if you agree with this. I think Russell Wilson, and I said this before, I'm not going to change my opinion on this now. I think Russell Wilson gives the Steelers the best chance to win. Oddly, though, if the Steelers were to win the Super Bowl this year, Pat, I think it would be with Justin Fields holding the trophy. Because the only way they can get there, I think, is if that guy reaches his full potential. And I don't think that there's any more meat on the bone for Russ. It doesn't mean that if he played, he would not be very good, but can he be elite? I don't think so anymore.
That's a really, really, really good point by you.
Yeah.
And I think it speaks to the situation the Steelers are in. Listen, I was thinking about this. I was talking about it the other day. I was watching the Hard Knocks clips at like 5:30 in the morning of the Giants talking about Saquon Barkley going to Philly and the owner saying, I won't be able to sleep at night if he goes to Philadelphia. But ultimately, they weren't going to pay him $12 or $13 million a year. And the GM was asked, what's your philosophy? Like, what's our plan? You have $40 million a year going to Daniel Jones. You've got a bunch of money now going to Dak Prescott. And the Steelers have basically, I'm going to dumb this down, they are renting to own Justin Fields. They're renting to own him. He's got to prove that he's worth the price tag when you got to put ink on the line. If he does that, it will mean that he gives them a chance to be really good the next 3 years. And they can only do that if he does that, in my opinion. They're not a Super Bowl contender with Russell Wilson. With the best version of Justin Fields, which we've never seen.
Correct.
Since he was at Ohio State. If he's playing at his peak, completing the ball, running, making plays, not turning it over, maybe they do have a chance. But that's a big maybe.
That's why even if the Steelers, and I've been told they're not, but even if the Steelers were milking this Russ thing for one more week just to see how it looks with a full week of preparation for Justin Fields, I like it. I like it a lot. Why not? After he proved he could do the thing that I didn't know he could do, why not see if he can do more? Because coming into the year, reason I said Russ makes sense if you're trying to win now is because he's not going to turn the ball over. He's going to make smart decisions. He can hit the deep ball. That's all the stuff that Justin Fields did last week. And I think a lot of it had to do with the offensive coordinator. I want your thoughts on what Arthur Smith was able to do in his first appearance with the Steelers. You can chime in on the conversation on the hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net and text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Oh, jeez, Bostic. Wait until you see this big guy.
What?
My wife just sent me a video from our Guardian camera this morning. I was hoping she just wouldn't notice this or care about it.
You tripped going out the door?
I wish. I walk around in my car, which got hit on the driver's side door like 3 months ago, and they fixed it. But now, for whatever reason, when I try to unlock it with the key fob, it doesn't unlock. Like, half the time it does, half the time it doesn't. So I basically do the slide across the hood from the driver's side to the passenger side, climb through the passenger side door, go into the driver's side. My knee gets all stuck on the driving wheel, steering wheel.
Is there enough light to see you in the...
You can see enough of it, yeah. I was just hoping, because the system alerts you anytime anybody's in your driveway, and same time every day I do it, and I was just hoping she would
think... Do you do that every day now?
This was the first time I've had to do it.
Yeah.
Yesterday, it wouldn't unlock, and I got real mad, and I just kind of stood there and waited. And then I kept clicking the thing, and eventually it opened. This morning, I was ready to get out of
there. That's the downside to there not being actually like a key.
Yes.
Right? You know, like.
There's no key.
No, this is a. Well, there is. I mean, you press that one button and pull it out like the. But it doesn't. There's no key entry in there.
I don't even think I have a way to hit a button and the key pops out. I don't think there's a key that exists. There is no key that exists. We're just looking at pure fob. Pure fob, no key. Callis walks over here and he tells me there's going to be. Oh my God, there's a key.
The key to the city. Look at Callis coming in there. But is there a key? Is there a key slot?
There's a slot. Yeah, I always thought you had the option.
You give this guy so much grief. He just saved you. He just saved you your life, your limb. I mean, 3:30 in the morning, you're doing a slide across the.
I went Dukes of Hazzard on the thing. Just slid across the side and went right in.
Meanwhile, there's a damn key in there that you could just. You know, slide it in there, open the old door, and hop in.
I don't want to give Callis too much credit for being some sort of secret genius because he does drive the same car as me. Now, wait a second. How do I get it out? Do I have to hit a button because I put it back?
Here it comes again. That's the fastest I've ever seen
Callis.
Okay,
I got it.
You got it.
Unreal. Unbelievable. And yesterday I'm at the orthopedist because I got the back issues, and I walk up in there.
Kyphosis.
I got the kyphosis, and I am... clearly and obviously the youngest person in there by like 40 years. So these last couple of days have been quite the ego smack for me.
Well,
I digress.
The good news is you found your key. Like there's a key, you can use it.
But the tape will live forever.
You got to tweet that out. You have to.
Yeah, I think
I will. Have it clipped and tweet it out. And like, I just think that's too good not to share with.
Well, then I punch the steering wheel and go, son of a.
Do you really?
Oh, I was so mad.
Were you?
So mad.
What time was this? Like 3:30?
This was about 3:56.
3:56.
Mm-hmm.
And your wife probably is, she's probably just dying laughing.
I'm sure. And the reason why I didn't try to just stand there and wait and hit the thing is because every time you try to unlock it, it goes beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, you don't want to wake everybody up.
I don't want to wake the neighbors up.
Well, how about your kids?
Eh. My wife could deal with it, but the neighbors would never forgive me. So that's what
happened. Good work, buddy. You know, you have no reason to be nice to him, but you are, and I admire that.
I say, it's just a fob. It's pure fob. And then 2 seconds later, there's a key popping out.
Oh, my God, there is a key.
I just enjoy spreading kindness into the world. These jackasses from West Virginia should not win.
Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Who's had a better career so far? Mike Tomlin or his opponent this weekend, Sean Payton. We'll get into that coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. But Bostic, your thoughts on the Arthur Smith experience week one?
Looked more organized to me.
Yeah.
I think I could follow the logic as to, you know, what they were trying to do and how they were trying to do it. I think you put Fields in positions to be successful and limit risk. Again, I'd like to see them open it up and use the quarterback run a little bit more, which I think they have in the arsenal. But I don't think they had the benefit of the full week with Justin.
Yeah.
I think we could see some wrinkles this week. Because I do think Arthur Smith is not only a good football coach, but creative. And I think he's worked with Mariota, he's worked with other guys that have played that way. And Tannehill's not a non-runner either. So
right.
I'm excited to see if in fact Fields, you know, gets the ball, what this looks like with a full week of preparation.
I was encouraged, Pat, by right before the half, the moving pocket to the left, the throw across the field.
Yeah.
A, that it was called, and B, that it was executed. And I'm not sure whether it be because of the quarterbacks or the coordinator that last year or the year prior, they're not just kneeling down on the football. That was one itty-bitty look at aggression from them, and I don't think we've seen that. The fourth and one, Tomlin will do that from time to time. That, to me, even though they didn't execute it and it was really ugly, was aggression. And I am hopeful, though not expecting, that they'll be a little bit more aggressive this week.
Yeah, I mean, the pass chart still concerns me. I mean, that is like, that is a carbon copy.
You're talking about no middle of the field?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
So you've seen the graphic, right?
I have.
Obviously, where it's the square, and then you've got all the completions.
I can also just feel it.
But. You know, but real quick, you know what I great tweet, I forget who it was. It said it looks like the strike zone depiction of a guy that just got sent down to the minors.
Right, yeah, that's just a good point.
There's nothing over the middle of the field.
They're not even painting the corners. I mean,
no.
They're just like...
buzzing inside.
Well, to me, that screams just low risk, lack of trust in the quarterback. Because obviously, I mean, it's not difficult to make this calculation. There are more bodies in the middle of the field when you throw the football down the middle of the field. There's safeties there. There's linebackers there.
High traffic area,
it's
Mike
high
Tomlin
traffic
says.
Area. But when you run the ball and you sign a tight end to a multi-year extension, that's one of the primary places you can utilize him, is down the middle of the field. And they seem to be very averse to doing that. And I think if you're an opponent, I mean, you can't help but try to force them to do it. I mean, clouded up outside. The problem is if you can't stop the run, you've got to play more single high safety. But to me, it's concerning. And again, I also think it's probably cherry picking a little bit, just because a lot of teams, you're not going to throw as high volume down the middle of the field. But when there's nothing, like nothing there, it concerns me.
I don't even think he looked there, dude.
It concerns, because it's like, it's just, if I'm a flat area defender, I am buzzing like crazy outside. I'm going to bait him all day long to throw the ball outside. And if I'm a corner out there, and you just know it's coming. You still got to cover, and you still got good players out there, but there's ways that you can cover it. You can cover that can make those outside areas more high traffic too.
People are texting that I need to change the battery in my fob, is what they're saying.
Didn't the door get dinged? Is that what the problem
is? The door got dinged, but they fixed it.
Can you, like, would you have to pop your trunk from your fob?
No. It's got one of those, if I have my keys.
Do you lock your car from your fob?
If I walk away from it, it locks itself.
So you
self-locking car.
You don't. That's great. You don't press it to.
I haven't. No.
So like, I would just test like your car right out there.
Yeah.
Maybe go up to the window.
I don't think it has that kind of distance. I think it's like Bo Nix air yards.
Especially if it's got a Bo Nix or Caleb Williams.
Oh my God.
If it's got no battery, you're never gonna know. But I would just try next time. Try to double hit the old lock button. See if you get a nice little beep.
Thank you, guys.
There's a few different things, by the way, too. Like, do you know how to open and close your windows without using the buttons when the car's on?
I didn't know that was a thing.
We're going to talk about that when we leave. Let's
talk about it.
Did you know if your car battery is dead, you can still open your trunk?
No.
There's a hidden button in the back seat.
What, do you work for Bowser? Thank you. Appreciate the help.
Callis, how does one find these things out? You must have. As your
I
car-
love the brand of car.
Single. He's single.
That we both drive.
What kind of brand?
Honda.
We allowed to say?
I guess.
No, it's general information. It's not an endorsement.
That's true.
I may ask for one, though, on the air right now. I love Hondas. So if somebody would like to give me that business.
You need a third car, so you need a bus.
Now this turned into just a full solicitation now.
Yeah, Callis is really selling himself here.
Yeah, Callis, he can fix a key fob. Now he wants a free car.
It'd be like if Doug Whaley came on yesterday and said, I declare my candidacy for the Pitt athletic director job. That's what Callis is trying to do right now. All right, coming up next, one more Arthur Smith note that I want to ask Pat about. We'll get back to the backyard brawl. And then Scott McKillop. He of 2007, December 1st fame, will join us at 9 o'clock. Last Sunday, the Steelers rushed for almost 140 yards. They had a center making his first start a left guard making his first start, and they were the third best graded pass blocking offensive line in the NFL. Pat Bostic in with us until 9 o'clock. Pat, I think that Arthur Smith's just an offensive line friendly coordinator. And that's why I am okay with now saying the opposite of what I said coming into the season, which was Dan Moore Jr. needs to play because you need some experience next to two guys who don't have any experience. Now we know Dan Moore Jr.'s banged up. Don't know whether or not he's going to play this weekend, but just seeing the Arthur Smith offense in action, and they use two tight ends or more 59% of the time, and they did hold up mostly in pass protection, and they did run the ball fairly well, I'm okay going younger. I think that Arthur Smith can scheme it up to protect these guys. And the other point is, I watch Atlanta's offensive line, which was thought of as one of the top five, top eight in the National Football League, look really not so great without Arthur Smith there.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you can't run the ball effectively, with which they were not consistent, you're behind the sticks, it's going to be tough to protect at all. The Steelers were largely ahead of the chains. They used two tight ends, which changes the surface for a defense, right? They're wider, harder to get to the quarterback. You can get some chip release and so forth to give your tackles help. But if you've got young tackles in there, Arthur Smith's going to be incredibly adept at how to affect defensive ends to slow them down, whether it's screening them, whether it's running at them, whether it's giving them looks.
They did a great job with Judon.
Yeah, chipping, you know, backs helping out. Like, he's going to be detailed in his protection approach, particularly, you know, with Justin Fields back there. Or if Russ is back there. If Russ is back there and isn't as mobile, you've got to, that's paramount. So I think schematically they're just much more sound, which is going to give them a great deal of a chance to be successful, regardless of who's in there, young or old. Because, you know, obviously Dan Moore didn't grade out very well last year, even though he had experience. So I'm not overly concerned, especially, you know, going to Denver. Now, L.A. is a little bit of a different, the Chargers are a little bit of a different beast in terms of their pass rush. But I'm not overly concerned if Broderick has to move over. If he's more healthy, that's helpful. He did not look good in the preseason.
Mm-mm.
But this could be a big moment for him in terms of gaining that experience. He's yet to play left tackle in a game. So this would be a heck of a way to kind of break the seal and get some experience.
It sure would be. I'm tired of them moving him back and forth. You want to know he can do it. I mean, that's very important. But he's your left tackle of the future.
He is.
At some point, you got to give him the opportunity, and if it's injury that leads you there, then okay, it's injury that leads you there. We're going to look around the NFL coming up in the next segment. So, Pat, brawl thoughts. Where are you on this game?
I think it's going to be a shootout. I really do. I think it's going to be, you know, very similar to the 2022 game. I think turnovers will certainly loom large. I mean, West Virginia, Garrett Green's yet to throw a pick, but they fumbled four times. They could have fumbled three more times.
Yep.
The ball's been on the ground. Eli Holstein's thrown a red zone interception in each of the last two games. That can't happen in a game like this. So it's going to come down to those one or two sequences where one team makes a mistake and the other either takes advantage of it or doesn't. And I think it has the makings of a classic, a great game. You've got a young quarterback versus an old quarterback. You've got this new offense. You've got West Virginia seemingly on the resurge, but didn't perform in week one the way they wanted. There's storylines everywhere. And it's supposed to be a beautiful day. I mean, perfect day for college football, 3:30. Yeah, there's some parking disruptions and so on, but everyone will get over that. And, you know, you realize that at 3:31 after that game starts, why this matters, right? Why this game means something. Because everyone's going to be into it. And
place will be juiced.
It's going to be juiced. It's going to be rocking.
It was juiced and rocking 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it was juiced and rocking in Morgantown last year.
It's the way it is, baby.
It just, you know, unfortunately was a little bit of a dud of a game for a number of reasons. Pitt obviously couldn't muster much offensively. And with Garrett Green getting hurt, and, you know, Nico went in there and played well, but it was just sloppy, ugly football. And the Mountaineers were able to win it. This year, I do not expect that.
Each team finished with 211 yards last year.
Yeah, I don't expect that to be. I think each team will approach doubling that number.
I agree with that, and I don't know if I said this on the air or off the air with Doran yesterday. I think at least one of the two teams will have over 211 yards in the first half.
I would agree. I mean, if they're going to double it, they got to.
Oh, math, yeah,
they got to do that. The keys in terms of, you know, the fast start for Holstein is going to be really important. I think West Virginia is going to say, listen, we got to take this Reed guy out of the game. You know, I mean, that's common sense, but how do we do that? And it's going to require Eli Holstein to counteract that with efficient passing, running at times, and spreading the ball around. And then they're going to have to work Desmond in the game. Good defenses can take players away. They can't stop an offense, though. They can slow it down. I think conversely for Pitt defensively, you know, they've given up, I think they gave up 190 on the ground last year, or excuse me, 151 last year and 190 in 2022 on the ground. Now, Pat Narduzzi was quick to point out that it was 150, but only 61 yards passing. But still, I mean, his goal is 100 yards or less rushing. Now, I think it's going to be tough because I think West Virginia is going to run it 40 times. But this has got to be a game where it's got to be south of 130 to stop the run. And you know, make Green go back there and play from the pocket. He's really dangerous when he gets out. But if they can stop the run and keep him in the pocket as best they can and limit his ability with his legs because he's dangerous there, that's the defensive formula. But I think this is a case of slowing the opposition down, taking away bread and butter, which for both is their backs, and which quarterback plays more efficiently, and who wins the sequences, who wins the pivotal moments, takes advantage, gets a timely turnover, and punches it in, and then can hold on at the end of the game.
Styles make the fight, too. And
this is perfect.
It's so perfect, man, because West Virginia scored a lot of points last season, but they also like to be fairly methodical. They can speed it up when they have to, but they want to own time of possession.
Yep.
They want to run the ball. Pitt wants to snap the ball, what did Kate say, every 9 seconds? And, you know, that's tough, but every 20 seconds, get up on the ball, survey things, snap it. You get that first down, you start building momentum. I love it. West Virginia wants to slow it down. Pitt wants to speed it up. It's going to be a fun game, man.
Special
as
teams.
As it always is.
Special teams, too, Crowley. I mean,
each of the last 2 years, a punt was blocked.
A punt's been blocked. I think that I give the edge to the West Virginia punter. Obviously, I think Pitt's got the better kicker.
Mm-hmm.
I think Pitt might have the best kicker in the country when it's all said and done in terms of just how automatic he is right now. And these are games that can come down to one or two of those special teams plays, whether it's a return, a block. I mean, Pitt's blocked a bunch of kicks. Rasheem Biles is like a honing missile in those situations. So, you know, don't head to the exits when a punt or a kickoff's happening to get your next beer. You might want to hang in your seat and wait for the quarter break because those plays are going to matter.
Special teams coordinator for Pitt, Miami of Ohio. Is that where he came from?
Jacob Bronowski. Coached at RMU for a year or two, and he's coached a Lou Groza Award winner. Going to be a head coach someday. I mean, he's really good. But they've had penalties on special teams. They've had three holds in the last 2 weeks on special teams. So field position. I mean, Pitt has had crappy field position the last two games. They've got to turn that around.
Well, just more space for Desmond Reed to run.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you don't make a living going 96 yards for touchdowns. That's at some point your luck's going to run out on that. So I'm fired up. I'm excited for it. I think it'll be a whale of a game.
Excited's a word that you use.
You're
anxious. I'm going to puke. Those are the words. That's the description I would use. We'll look around the NFL coming up next. Scott McKillop at 9 o'clock. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And right now it's time for us, Callus, get ready to go around the NFL. Brought to you by Champ Tires, all brands and every size. Oh, my God, he's not in there. And now he's meandering through the front
talking
door.
Talking to PJ.
The music is blasting. What is he doing? He's showing no sense of urgency.
No.
He's like Chase Claypool at the end of that Minnesota Vikings game. He's going to get up and spike the football.
Yeah.
Callus.
We got caught in traffic.
We're going around the NFL, brought to you by Champ Tires, all brands and every size. What are you doing? Caught in traffic. All right. I want to throw a few quarterback things at you, Bostic.
My quarterback.
Deshaun Watson. Disgust.
There ain't much to say. I mean,
he stinks.
I think there is something to, and he played well at times during his time in Cleveland, something to an ego being damaged and confidence And I also think there's something to your offense, your most veteran offensive lineman being, you extend your hand to pick him up off the turf, and he basically says, go pound salt.
Yeah, that's telling.
It's telling. And they got problems in Cleveland.
Did you see what he said in his press conference yesterday? This is just appalling to me. There's the new allegation that has come out against Deshaun Watson, and he was asked, why does this keep happening? And his answer, quote, I'm in the same boat as you, boss man. This just isn't a smart guy who understands the gravity of the situation. Is Aaron Rodgers cooked?
I think the Jets are cooked. I put up a fight for a period of time, but I saw flashes of him, but I just don't think that group around him is good enough.
Really?
I don't.
I thought the arm looked fine. He moved better than I thought. He certainly moved better than Kirk Cousins. I mean,
Kirk Cousins might be cooked.
I agree with that. They didn't run a single play action. He didn't take a single snap from under center. Not one of either. So the Steelers' defense looked really good. You should look really good given those circumstances.
Yep.
They didn't trust him to move at all.
He's a statue.
An absolute statue. And he was not a mobile guy at all before the injury. Yeesh. Caleb Williams.
Too early to tell, but he looked a lot like Justin Fields did in Chicago. They found a way to win, but, you know, his billing, he did not live up to his billing in that opener.
He did not. I think it was, what, 2.7?
Air yards per attempt.
Oh, my word. Pat, that's all the time we have for you.
Well, we would have had more time if Callis would have made it back here.
That was something.
Eat that, finding your key. Might want to get a new battery.
You know what? We're at net even now with Callis. Like, it's hockey. He allowed a goal just there, right?
Yeah.
Made a bad defensive play.
You guys went tit for tat.
Yeah.
I like it.
Scored a goal.
Yeah.
Earlier on.
You guys got another hour to see who comes out on top.
Yeah, we'll see where this plus minus lands. Big game this weekend.
Tell my buddy Scott I say hello.
Scott McKillop, yeah, coming up next. Pat, I got one for you.
Eat that.
I'll eat it. See ya.
If Pitt wins the game.
I'm saying it again.
I figured you would. And you're probably going to do it every week.
You're damn right.
I love it.
Hail to Pitt.
See you, buddy. Thank you for coming on. A lot of fun, sir. As always. Coming up next, No Doran. We hope he heals up by the backyard brawl. He scheduled Scott McKillop, and I'm supposed to ask him questions about that game December 1st, 2007. I'm supposed to ask him those questions? To quote James Franklin, making me uncomfortable. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com today, high at 85.